We're having some technical difficulties. Apparently I have a lapel mic. Apparently we need batteries. It was left on. So this part doesn't need to be recorded. How's that? But it's great to see everybody. Amen? It is awesome to be in Ottawa. Now, you need to understand, I just turned 53, so I'm young compared to Benito. But I don't remember names like I used to. But I see lots of familiar faces. I'm fired up. I do remember one name in particular because it reminded me of it being cold today. Because when we were in the downtown region many, many years ago, Rob Groves decided to say, "Marty, would you like to go fishing with me down Lake Ontario?" And I think it was like November, December. It was very cold. And we caught nothing. Thank you, sir. Hopefully. I'm hoping it works. But anyways, it's great to be here. As Howard had mentioned, I'm going to tilt this down a little bit. As Howard mentioned, we had talked for on and off for a while about just, it seems as the Canadian leadership group, we get together when there's an agenda. And so we have an agenda, and so let's get everybody together so we can talk about the agenda. And I said, "Howard, it'd be nice just to get together, just to get together. Yes. Hang out, build our friendship, talk about stuff, and help one another as just things happen." And so we had, as he had alluded to, had been trying to figure this time out, and finally, we were talking on the phone a couple weeks back, said, "You know what, after Easter, Reed and I are just going to book our flights, we're coming." And so I pulled out my credit card, got online, booked our flights, and here we are and hanging out, and it's been a lot of fun. I'm fired up that Gislain came, though, because as we, and as many of you know this, as we were hanging out with the Martins, you literally need a tag team to take care of Eric. Because he would just want to wrestle with you until you're exhausted, and then need to wrestle with someone else until they're exhausted. But it's been a great time. It's great seeing the Pattersons, who... I believe when they first came to this great country of ours, downtown Toronto for a while, and then came here. So obviously great to see you guys as well, and so many others, and people that I was in campus ministry with, Laura, back in the day, and so on. So it's awesome to be here. Amen. The title of my lesson today is The Shiny Things of God. And it's a phrase that the president of our board actually shares with me from time to time. And I'll get there in a minute. But have you ever lost sight or lost focus of what you're doing? And then it almost causes a tragedy or a major accident or something. All of a sudden you catch yourself and you're able to hammer on the brakes, whatever it might be. You know, years ago, when we were in Calgary... Mark Mancini had given me a call and he said, "Hey bro, do you think that you could go up to Edmonton?" There was no church in Edmonton at the time. And there was a brother from the States who was trying out, had been recruited by the Saskatchewan Rough Riders football team. And he was a quarterback. And he'd been up at training camp and had no fellowship for a number of weeks. So he asked if we could go and encourage him because they had an exhibition game up in Edmonton. Edmonton's about 2 hours. So we said, "Sure, we will." And our daughter at the time was 1, our son was 5, and so we took the 2-hour drive up the highway, and if you've ever been out in Alberta, there's not a lot to see between Calgary and Edmonton. And so you drive on up, and we get up there, and we meet the brother's hotel, and sit in the lounge, and talk for a while, and have some time of encouragement, prayer, and stuff, and then we grab the bike, and we're heading back. And as we're driving along this stretch of highway where there's nothing to see, I look over, and my little daughter is sound asleep in her car seat. My 5-year-old son is crashed in the back seat. My wife is leaning against the window, and she's out cold. And so we're driving along, and the highway is 2 lanes in one way. You've got that divider, and then 2 lanes coming the other. And so we're driving along, and the next thing I know is I hear boom, 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 and I open my eyes. I've fallen asleep at 100 kilometers an hour. In the right-hand lane, I had now crossed over to the left lane, and now on the shoulder. If it were for rubble strips, my life might be much different today than it was, than it is. Because
for that brief moment, I just nodded off. And now the funny part, looking back now, is so we quickly pull off the side of the road. Rita's now wide awake. She wants to drive the rest of the way home. But I'm no longer tired. But we switched seats and we got home safely, and amen to all of that. But you know, it's interesting how things can change. You know, have you ever been in a similar situation? You know, maybe you're at a shopping mall as a parent. You got young children, young child, and it's busy. And you're looking at something, and all of a sudden you turn around and your kid's gone. And the panic that sets in. And you start scrambling around only to find them, you know, in some toy section playing with something, right? Like life is totally perfect for them, and your heart is in your chest. As I said, distracted driving. The big thing now is people texting while they're driving. And it worries me when I see people doing it. I'm looking in my mirror at a red light, and I see this woman come up behind me, and she's driving towards me. And I'm like, you know. But have you ever been distracted like that? And you jam on the brakes, and you just think, wow. Or what about clumsy thumbsies? Do you know what I mean? You send a text. But autocorrect changes it for you. And then you hit send, and what you send is not what you meant to say. Yeah. Or you get an email to a bunch of people, and you reply all, but you're saying things that certain people shouldn't be reading. So when my daughter was in grade 11, she played flag football for her high school, and I coached the team. Give me an example of this clumsy thumbsy. The young woman who was sort of the main person running it, her name was B. Beatrice B. And so it was the spring, and it was cold weather and wet weather. And so sometimes we would book the gym to run our practice. So I send her a text. I go, hey, B, do we have the gym for tonight's practice? And as I go to hit send, I thought, maybe I should read it first. Well, what had happened is autocorrect said, hey, baby, do we got the gym? Now, I want you to think for a moment. In our political climate, with our education system, a 50-year-old man sending a text to a 17-year-old girl at high school saying, hey, baby. Again, life for me might be completely different right now. But you know, we have these situations that happen. You know, and spiritually speaking, I believe sometimes the same thing can happen to us. We can get our eyes off of God and get them focused on everything that's going on around us. And we can get distracted. We can lose sight of God in our daily life. If you have a Bible, turn with me over to Proverbs 29. This is actually one of my favorite passages in the Scriptures. But not the NIV version. But I'm going to start off with that one. It says in verse 18, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Proverbs 29, verse 18. So where there is no revelation, people are going to cast off restraint. I was coming across this one day in the Message Bible. And here is how the Message Bible reads that passage. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. And I remember sitting there, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. And I think it's so easy for us to get distracted that we lose sight of what God is doing in our lives. And when we get to that state, we begin to stumble all over ourselves. Well, what can prevent us from seeing what God is doing? I think the biggest one is just life in general. Life gets busy. We get in a hurry. And then we hurry here and we hurry there. And we start scrambling around and we take our eyes off of God. We can even come to church on Sunday and hear a great communion lesson from Jislan and talk about the cross.
But as soon as this is done, we're out the door and we're about our tasks. And we lose sight of God. And so for a brief hour, we go, yeah, but I connected. Well, there are 23 more hours in this day. There are 6 more days in this week. And we can begin to lose sight because we get so busy. Sometimes we have our personal desires that are going unfulfilled. We wish this or we wish that. I'm single. I wish I was married. I'm married. I wish I was single. Whatever. And all of a sudden we lose sight of God. And then our tendency becomes we start to blame everybody else. Start pointing fingers at every. My life would be better if. And the result is we begin to stumble all over ourselves. We begin to cast off restraint. But it says, if we attend to what he reveals, we are most blessed. If we attend, if we pay attention, if we focus on, the Bible says we'll be blessed. God is trying to get our attention every day. Every day. I wanted to share a few stories. Because recently, my wife and I, who we actually just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. For those who don't know us, we have 2 children. Josh, who is now 23 and married, graduated, got married, and got a full-time job all within a couple months. Keep your eyes on Jesus, please, my son. Our daughter is 19, will be 20, and is in her second year of university and doing great. And we had made a decision, it's been almost 2 years, well it's over 2 years of the decision, but it's been 2 years since we left Toronto to go help with the leadership in Halifax and help with the church there. And it was interesting coming in because we have an incredible group of brothers and sisters in Halifax. They're really awesome men and women, but they started losing their focus on God and they started getting focused on everything else. And so we came and we just started calling the church back to looking at God, getting back into the scriptures, reading the Bible. And it's amazing to see what God has done. Give me an example. There's a brother named Murray. And Murray serves as a doctor at a teen camp down in Maine that we all go to. His wife, Elizabeth, is a disciple. She's the sister of Cheryl Hammer. And he is an incredible husband, great dad, great guy. Takes his wife 2 hours to church. They live 2 hours outside of Halifax. Doesn't want to study the Bible. Great guy. Sacrifices. Gives. Time. Great guy. So we get out there and I just start building a friendship with him. And it's great to build a friendship with someone who has interests that you have. He loves golf. Wow. So do I. He loves football. Wow, so do I. Challenge is he's a Green Bay Packer fan, and I'm a Steelers fan, so we have our issues. But it's amazing to see what God started doing through his life. He went to a teen camp that year in 2015. And all of a sudden, he comes back, I want to study the Bible. So we start studying the Bible. He gets baptized in November. Remember, they travel 2 hours to church one way. Then they decide, we're going to start having Bible talks in their house once a month. And so Reed and I drive up there on the Sundays we have house church down in Halifax to have a Bible talk in their house in the afternoon. They have 7 to 10 visitors every Bible talk. They live in a town of 10,000 people. They have an incredible heart to serve. They have an incredible heart to share their faith. They just love God. When you attend to what God reveals, you'll be blessed. We have 3 studies going on up there. One of them, a woman named Patricia, hopefully will be baptized sometime this summer. She's doing great. When we get there, there's a brother named Gino. He's a dad. His son, Manny, got baptized a number of years ago. Manny was dating a woman at the time named Megan. She was going to school at St. Effects. Moved back to Halifax. Manny became a Christian. She started studying, became a Christian. Her mom started coming out to church. She got baptized. their dad, who goes to a different church, didn't want anything to do with us, but eventually came to a Sunday.
Liked it. We studied the Bible. He got baptized. Now his mom, Grandma Ruth, comes to church. Not only that, he is out sharing his faith and challenging his wife in his commitment to being a disciple. And has a guy studying the Bible right now named Joel. This Dave is baptized 6 months, 8 months. He's my age. Shares his faith. Doesn't care who you are, how old you are. Doesn't matter. I'm going to talk to you about Jesus. Incredible guy. And you start seeing, when you attend to what God is revealing, you'll be blessed. A year ago, we had a women's event at a place called the Best Western Chocolate Lake Hotel. It's on the lake called Chocolate Lake. And actually, Karen and Howard were in town for that weekend. Karen shared at the women's event. There's a young woman there, the first event she ever came to. Her name's Renee. Started studying the Bible. Got baptized in Chocolate Lake in the summertime. First event she ever came to was the women's day that Karen was at. When you attend to what God reveals, you'll be most blessed. For those of us who've been around a long time, might remember a woman named Lynn Gallagher. Yeah. Lynn and Glenn are retirees. Yeah. Glenn is 72. Lynn is under 70. Just going to say. Very good-looking woman in great health for a woman her age. She came up to Rita and I a couple weeks back in February and said, we have a number of sisters in the church who are above 60. And it's easy for women in that group to feel kind of dismissed, you know, marginalized. And so she started talking to them and she came up and said, hey, I would like to start a group with these women. And there's another. There's Ginny Blau, who used to be in the West Region. You've got Eleanor, who's 83 and weighs like 70 pounds. Like, she's pretty frail. We have a number of women in this group. So Lynn gets with them and says, hey, we have to come up with a name for our group. You know, in Toronto, there's the Golden Girls, I think, was the name. So they came up with the name Women of Worth. Acronym. Wow. And it's awesome. But Lynn on her own just said, hey, look, there's a need here. I want to step up and try to meet this need. Not waiting to be told or asked, but when you attend to what God is revealing, you'll be blessed. You know, one of the things that I used to love when I was in high school is I played basketball a lot growing up. And then, you know, as you get older and a little heavier. But when we moved to Halifax, one of the things we, at the university, they have something called Noon Hoops. And it's half-court basketball. Campus students come out. I am not the oldest guy that plays. One guy, 69, his name is Barry. He's had two heart surgeries. Wow. We play shirts and skins. He takes his shirt off and it's just, you're like, dude. He's out there playing. The oldest guy is named Herb, 83. Another guy, Walt, 72, former professor at St. Mary's. And then you got all these young campus students. And we'll play on 2, 3, 4 courts, depending on how many people show up. So I started getting involved in playing. So, and I used this opportunity to meet people. Well, I met a young guy named Daniel. And long story short, he has brought his girlfriend to church. The service before Easter brought his mom out. He's studying the Bible and will probably be your brother in the Lord next weekend. If you attend to what God reveals, you'll be blessed. You know, I believe God has a plan for the Atlantic provinces. And I call it the Maritime or the Atlantic Day of Pentecost. Now you might go, what are you talking about? The Atlantic provinces are known for everyone to leave and go west to work. Yeah. Well, it's amazing to see what God has done. The barrel of oil has gone like this. And all those people who used to have work out west don't have jobs anymore. Yeah. Well, guess where they're going? Well, they're building these 5 ships at the harbor in Halifax, and there's lots of work. And all of a sudden, people from New Brunswick and Prince Edward Island and Newfoundland and Nova Scotia are coming back home. Amen. Why? because we're going to have an opportunity to meet them, study with them, help them to become Christians, and then send them home to convert their families. The Atlantic Day of Pentecost. Remember, you heard it first here. But I believe God is doing great things. And the challenge is sometimes we take our eyes off God and we forget what God is doing even in our own lives. Now, you might be thinking, sure, that sounds great for you, but you don't understand my situation. I've been there and I've done that. Instead of thinking that way, I want you to ask yourself this question. What is God doing in your life right now? If you think God is doing nothing, then you are seeing all the distractions. But if you see God doing something, then you're seeing the shiny little things that God is blessing your life with. Amen. And it can be anything. It could just be a situation today, a word of encouragement, an opportunity to encourage somebody, whatever it might be, just the shiny little things. You know, there are churches today all over that have thousands upon thousands of people in those buildings. And with all those people around them, people still feel alone. We can get distracted. Well, we're so small. We're so few. You know, there are so many people right now who would love to have what you have in the relationships you have in this room. But we take it for granted and then we stop looking at it as a blessing from God. And we take our eyes off of what God is doing. My wife and I had the privilege of overseeing the campus ministry in Toronto for about 5 years. And one of the shiny things that God would reveal to me often is as I would look at the children who are now young men and women, and I remember their parents, not trying to embarrass anybody, before their parents were ever married. Yeah. And I think of the relationships that God has allowed us to be a part of, to a larger degree or a lesser degree, but the relationships that we have is a shiny thing of God. Well, how can you attend to what God is revealing for you? What opportunities at your workplace or at school is God putting in front of you that if you attend to it, God will bless you? What opportunities to encourage or to build up your brothers and sisters does God put in front of you? And if you attend to it, you'll be blessed. What opportunities does God present to you to allow you to get deeper with God, that if you would just go after it, you would be blessed? Our enemies plan to distract us with life and with church. But if we can put our eyes on God, if we can attend to what He's revealing, then those distractions will, they don't go away, but they don't become blinding to us in our walk with God. Turn me over to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 6, it's the story of Gideon. And again, many of us know this story, but I want you to think of it from the perspective of what we're talking about, where people don't see God. They stumble all over themselves. So in Judges chapter 6, and partway through this story, we'll pick it up in verse 11. It says, "The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak of Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizurite, where his son Gideon was thrashing wheat in winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in the hand of the Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" Gideon wasn't seeing the shiny things of God. He didn't even hear what God said to him. The angel said, "You are a mighty warrior." Well, if we are mighty warriors, why is all this? No, he didn't say we are mighty warriors. He said you are a mighty warrior. He didn't get it. Because he was looking at all the distractions. He was looking at the Midian. He was looking at the fact that they were struggling to survive. They heard of all the great stories in the past, and where are they now? In Halifax, we struggle with the same thing. There have been lots of things said, and we should be here, and we should do this, and how come our church isn't this big, and why don't we got this, and on and on and on. Okay, so what is God revealing to you right now? And is he calling you to be a mighty warrior? And what are you going to do about it? Because the Bible says, God says to Gideon, am I not sending you? Yeah, but this person beside me, they're not doing anything. But God's not talking to them, God's talking to you. So what are you going to do? What shiny things is God going to reveal to you this week? And when you see them, will you attend to them? Or will you just let distractions lead you astray? And then you'll come back, and why aren't we? Why aren't we? And God's sitting there going, but I just did this for you. I just did that for you. Pray that you will see what I'm sending to you. Amen. If you attend to what God reveals, let God worry about everything else. Let me leave you with two things. First thing is our walk with God. We need to get in the habit of listening for his voice, because it is often drowned out by life's distractions. You can write this down. We're not going to turn to it, but the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 19. Where God says, I'm going to reveal myself to you, Elijah. Step out. And there was an earthquake. There was a wind that split rocks apart. There was an earthquake. There was this massive fire. But God was in none of them. And then there was a gentle whisper that said, Elijah, what are you doing here? I think for us as Christians, we often want to look to all those big things. The wind, the earthquake. We want to go to St. Louis. That'll fire me up. San Antonio 2 years ago. Let's go have this big. And we look to all these big events. And God's like, why don't you just go sit down here by the canal and listen for my voice? Why don't you just go into your inner room and read a psalm and listen to what I have to say? I'm not saying those things aren't important. I think they're great. But sometimes we try to live from that mountaintop to the next time there's another one, which leaves us in a valley for a very long time. And so let's listen for that quiet voice, that whisper of God. Number two, let us focus our eyes and our attention on what God is revealing, and then make decisions to act upon it. You know, I'm pretty sure I just read this in a book that you guys were doing on the Word of God and what is biblical faith. It is acting upon what you believe. So if you believe God is revealing stuff to you, then act upon it. Invite friends over for dinner. Let me share this. This is a statement from my wife and I. This is what we live by. We just want to enjoy our life. I just want to enjoy it. We want to enjoy our Christianity. Yes. I just want to enjoy it. Yeah. So we have neighbors next door, Gary and Sue. We're build friendships with them. We go over there and they invite us over some wine and cheese one night. And we're hanging out talking to them. Now they want to go. They want us to go with them to go see a blues band play down at a club on a Friday night. Building friendships with them. Enjoying our life. I go play noon hoops because I got to get rid of this girlish figure that I have. And I need to get a girl. No. But I need to exercise. But I use it as an opportunity to meet people. And so I go out and enjoy my life. Get involved. If you like sports, get involved. If you like clubs, get involved. Not clubbing. Clubs. Cards. Stuff like that. Just to make sure there's no mistake there. Get involved in your community. Get involved if you got kids in their schools. Get involved. Enjoy your life. And then invite people along for the ride. Bring God's love and His light into your circumstances and situation. Take time to consider how to encourage your brothers and sisters. To me, this is one of the things that we have gotten really weak in our church. We just are very much, we are quicker to criticize and tear one another down than we are to build and encourage and build one another up. I'm as guilty as anybody. I'm not talking down to anybody, but I see it. I see it in our life. Reed and I talk about it often. Like, why can't we just see what's good in people rather than always seeing what's wrong? Because you know what? We all got stuff that's wrong. And it's a lot easier to see that than to pull out that little grain and say, you know what? Look what they're doing. They're encouraged. They built that person up. They did whatever. And encourage that and build it up. And as we attend to what God reveals, we're going to be blessed in our lives. Amen?
Yeah.
Halifax sends their love. And may God bless you as you continue on your journey in Him. Amen.